It was a busy political weekend as Michigan Democrats and Republicans held their respective conventions. There were things that happened as predicted, a few surprises, and some serious jabs. Chris Gouts, Lansing reporter for Crane's Detroit Business, is here. Hi, Chris.
Hello there.
And we welcome back Chad Livengood, who covers Lansing for the Detroit News. Hey, Chad.
Thanks for having me, as always.
First, Chad, to the GOP. Of course, predictions were all out there that Tea Party favorite Wes Nakagiri was not going to succeed in his bid to boot Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly off the ticket. And, predictions were 100% correct. I'm wondering, what was the mood between the establishment Republicans and the Tea Party afterwards?
Some of the Tea Party folks who were supporting Wes Nakagiri were understandably upset that they didn't prevail. There was definitely some relishing among some of the establishment-type Republicans who have taken a little bit of a beating in past conventions and had some of their own folks lose or come near a loss. I mean, just last year, Bobby Shostak only lost, the Republican Party chairman, only won re-election by a handful of votes, and it put a scare into some people in the establishment, to say the least. Ron Weiser, the former party chairman, lost a bid to be nominated for the U of M Board of Regents 2 years ago and came back and did it again this year and just pulled off a win, a second place, I guess you might say, in the nomination for two open seats. But it was pretty close, and he had to work pretty hard to get it. So, the establishment is happy today.
There was a little bit of booyah, huh, when that happened. What stuck out in your mind, Chris?
Well, I think, like Chad said, in the end it wasn't even close between Nakagiri and Kelly. While it was expected, it wasn't entirely clear because all of those that were saying that Kelly was likely to prevail had a vested interest in saying that, because by trying to really prop up that he had it in the bag, it had the effect of possibly discouraging, Nakagiri supporters from making the trip to Novi and spending all day inside on a very nice day outside like we all did. but in the end, it just really wasn't. It ended up not being close. So it really was the establishment victory that I think a lot of people saw, and it worked. It proved that the money spent and the time that it took really doing this very unique, once in a probably lifetime effort of getting all of these delegates and precinct delegates and going through that whole process at the county conventions really translated into a success on Saturday.
Well, and here we have Wes Nakagiri today saying he hasn't decided whether or not he will vote for Rick Snyder in November. So how much of a problem do you think this type of talk could be for the Snyder-Kelly ticket, Chad?
Well, any voter is free to not fill in one of the races, and they could just go, skip the governor's race. How much that really, transcends to the ballot and hurts the governor, so it's kind of unclear. It depends on just sort of, if folks are really upset, they're going to sit it out in protest, and then they're going to risk getting Mark Schauer in the governor's office. If that's what they want, then that's fine for them. But so that's going to be kind of the rationality. There's going to be an argument made within the conservative movement that we've got to just put this guy in because he's as close to what we are than Mark Schauer is.
Which takes us right over to the Democrats, and there was absolutely no question that Mark Schauer and Lisa Brown were going to head the ticket. Chad, what do you think the big story was out of the Democratic convention?
Well, they avoided a little bit of an inter-party squabble themselves over the nomination of a Supreme Court justice candidate, Judge William Murphy, as chief judge of the Michigan Court of Appeals. In the past, Judge Murphy has been endorsed by Right to Life of Michigan, and so you don't get Right to Life's endorsement unless you have essentially espoused some anti-abortion rights viewpoint at some point. So even though he was pretty coy about what exactly his personal views are, the Women in Justice caucuses of the Democratic Party kind of protested his nomination, and then they ended up actually forcing a renomination or a second vote on Sunday, even though he'd already been nominated on Saturday. They kind of tried to hash that out Saturday evening so it wouldn't be an issue on the big day when they were trying to put on a united front. So that was kind of the most firecrackers that went off, I guess you might say, at the Democratic convention. But this strategy issue of the turnout game, you're going to see this ramped up a lot more in the next couple weeks as we get closer to when the absentee ballots go out in early October, because the real key here is to try to get people to vote early and get them to make the decision now. And to get larger numbers of absentee ballots returned as fast as possible.
I want to get your thoughts from both of you about a candidate who won the GOP nomination to run for State Board of Education. Her name is Maria Carle from Macomb County. Maybe remembered by some for her outburst at a GOP state convention in 1992. I'll just recap for everybody. It happened when Andrea Fisher became a candidate for a seat on the Republican National Committee, and Maria Carle shouted out, "She's a Jew, she's a Jew," and called on Macomb delegates to vote instead for Betsy DeVos because, quote, "she isn't a Jew." So that was in 1992. Did that episode figure at all, and did it come up at all as she was nominated on Saturday, Chris?
Yeah, it did. Leon Drillet, a former lawmaker, was passing out flyers to the press and was talking with delegates and trying to make the case. But she did come out on top, and she didn't get win a spot. And so there were some in the party that were very concerned about that. One, just because they don't want somebody that has those views, or at least supposedly had those views then, representing them. But also they know that Democrats are absolutely going to use that, that the Republican Party nominated an anti-Semite, using their words, I'm not calling her, but that's clearly going to be used against her. And they'll be able to use that against other candidates and say, do you endorse, do you support this anti-Semite? It can become an issue in a whole bunch of other races. And so they've really given themselves a headache that they probably were hoping that they could have avoided.
Well, and to make things worse for Ms. Carle, she was approached by reporters at the end of the Republican press conference after the convention, and initially it looked like she was staying over the stage over as the reporters were on the floor, and they were trying to get her to answer some questions, and she was looking at some of the GOP staff and some of the other candidates as they were exiting the room, and decided to sort of make a bolt for the door herself. So she did not take any time to talk to anybody or address this. So it'll start with her trying to essentially address these 22-year-old comments. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, like Chris said, every candidate probably from the top of the ticket down is going to have to answer questions about Ms. Carle's comments. And the Democrats have firepower from a Republican activist in Leon Drillet, who essentially used this same issue against her when he ran for the state house in 2004 in Macomb County.
Chris Gouts, you tweeted out a photo Saturday of some bumper stickers available at the GOP convention. I have that in front of me here. I will read these three bumper stickers. One says, KFC Hillary special, too fat thighs, too small breast, left wing. Another says, Hillary, there's a village in Arkansas missing their idiot.
Well, one, that the grammar's not correct. It should be missing its idiot, not their idiot.
Very good.
But that aside, I think it was just something. There were obviously vendors there that were selling things. I don't think it's indicative of the feelings of party. It was hard to tell. I didn't see people buying them in mass. But it's clearly a sentiment that's there. And obviously it's expressed enough that a vendor thought that there was a market for that at the convention. And it maybe could have been something that the staff, if they would have gone around and said, maybe we don't want to have that here. Maybe that's not a good idea.
Did we see any similar examples of kind of this Mr. Nasty streak at the Democratic convention? Was there any low blows thrown there?
I mean, there was definitely comments made about various candidates, the opposing candidates, but we didn't see any bumper stickers like this emerge. Surely there was probably a similar village idiot type bumper sticker made about George W. Bush in the state of Texas. The Democrats have probably peddled at some point as well. So This is not uncommon, but obviously these definitely cross the line into sexism.
Yeah, and I think while you didn't see maybe bumper stickers, you know, House Minority Leader Tim Grimmel did make some comments. You know, I think he was trying to use alliteration and maybe didn't pick his words the best. And there have been some conservatives and Republicans that are pointing out at the convention, he called the Republicans, quote, a party of bigots, billionaires, and bullies. I mean, he's taken some grief for that. And obviously at conventions, you're trying to rile up your base, and you're going to say things that when a general audience looks at them, you think, man, maybe that wasn't the best choice of words. And so that, again, is something that both sides are going to look at and will use to their advantage.
Chris Gouts from Crane's Detroit Business, Chad Livengood of the Detroit News. Always a pleasure talking with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.